Shalom, Alchim. Welcome back to the broadcast, and peace be upon you. Today, we are resuming our study in the ancient Book of Jubilees found with the Dead Sea Scrolls. And we're going to be looking at the, well, we'll be reviewing 38, chapters 38 and 39. So, if you remember last week, we had the build-up as Esau and the sons of Esau show up to Jacob to make war. And this is after Esau had sworn to his father and to his mother that he would not do this, but his sons, it says, pressured him and more or less forced him to go to war. And then it says, but afterward, he, meaning Esau, remembered all the evil which lay hidden in his heart against Jacob, his brother, and he remembered not the oath which he had sworn to his father and to his mother, that he would devise no evil all his days against Jacob, his brother. So it starts off with the sons of Esau and their wickedness, and they're saying, look, you're going to do this, and you're going to lead us into battle, or we're going to kill you. And they hire 5,000, 4,000 men from the surrounding tribes, and they show up, and that's where we left off last week. And so we'll be reading chapter 38, which will deal with that. And then we'll also read 39, which is where the Book of Jubilees returns to the story of Joseph. So if you remember, Joseph was sold into slavery, and then the Book of Jubilees kind of leaves that story. So it's going to be coming back to that now, and we're going to be seeing the Jubilees account of what happened with Potiphar's wife. So if you remember in Genesis, Potiphar's wife was attracted to Joseph, tried to get him to lay with her. He would not, so he rushed out, and she had a hold of his garment, and she accused him of rape. She did a hashtag Me Too against him, and he ended up in prison for many, many years. And so that's where we're going to go with that. And yeah, that'll be what we're covering today. All right, so let's go ahead and begin with chapter 38, starting with verse 1. And after that, Judah spake to Jacob his father, and said unto him, bend thy bow, father, and send forth thy arrows, and cast down the adversary, and slay the enemy. And mayest thou have the power, for we shall not slay thy brother, for he is such as thou, and he is like thee. Let us give him this honor. Then Jacob bent his bow, and sent forth the arrow, and struck Esau his brother on the right breast, and slew him. And again he sent forth an arrow, and struck Adaron the Armenian on the left breast, and drove him backward, and slew him. And then went forth the sons of Jacob, they and their servants, dividing themselves into companies on the four sides of the tower. And Judah went forth in front, and Naphtali and Gad with him, and 50 servants with him on the south side of the tower. And they slew all they found before them, and not one individual of them escaped. And Levi and Dan and Asher went forth on the east side of the tower, and 50 men with them. And they slew the fighting men of Moab and Ammon. And Reuben and Issachar and Zebulun went forth on the north side of the tower, and 50 men with them. And they slew the fighting men of the Philistines. And Simeon and Benjamin and Enoch, Reuben's son, went forth on the west side of the tower, and 50 men with them. And they slew of Edom and of the Horites 400 men, stout warriors, and 600 fled. And 4 sons of Esau fled with them, and left their father lying slain, as he had fallen on the hill which is in Adoram. And the sons of Jacob pursued after them to the mountains of Seir. And Jacob buried his brother on the hill which is in Adoram, and he returned to his house. And the sons of Jacob pressed hard upon the sons of Esau in the mountain of Seir, and bowed their necks so that they became servants of the sons of Jacob. And they sent to their father to inquire whether they should make peace with them or slay them. Now, real quick, so it starts off with, remember, Jacob and his sons are up in the tower when Esau and his army shows up, and the sons of Jacob say to their father, "We can't slay Esau, so please draw your bow and you slay him," which he does, according to the book of Jubilees here. It's important to note that according to the book of Jasher, which is a book full of Jewish oral tradition, I don't give it nearly the same weight as I do the book of Jubilees, and the reason for that is because the manuscript evidence is just is very lacking in comparison to Jubilees. But I do want to point out that in the book of Jubilees, it's not Jacob who slays Esau, but Esau was killed by Chushim, the son of Dan, at the cave of Machpelah, when Jacob's corpse had arrived for burial. And you can see Jasher 50, chapter 56, verse 64. I'll just read verse 64 real quick. Obviously, we won't have any context, but I'm just pointing this out. And he asked, saying, "Why do you not bury the dead? And what is this great fear?" And they answered him the words of Esau and his sons. And he ran to Esau in the midst of the battle, and he slew Esau with a sword and cut off his head. And it sprang to a distance, and Esau fell among the people of the battle. And when Chushim did this matter, the sons of Yaakov prevailed over the sons of Esau. And the sons of Yaakov buried their father Yaakov by force in the cave, and the sons of Esau saw it. And Yaakov was buried in Hebron, in a cave of Machpelah, which Abraham had bought from the sons of Heth for the possession of a burial place, and he was buried in very costly garments. So that's according to the book of Jasher. I would say the book of, again, I give the book of Jubilees more weight because of manuscript evidence, because it was found with the Dead Sea Scrolls, and because it was found in great abundance with the Dead Sea Scrolls. So, but it's only right to point out that there is other traditions that believe that something else happened. But this is why we stick with Genesis as our primary source that we build our understanding and doctrine and things like that from. And we look at these other books as historical narratives to fill in these gaps. You know, what happened with Jacob and Esau? And this is the story. This is the account that Jubilees gives us. And I would certainly believe this account over the one in Jasher. But I don't toss the book of Jasher either. I read it and I look at it, and it's very, very interesting. And maybe we could do a study on that as well. We'll just have to see. Moving forward, verse 12. Well, let me reread verse 11. And they sent to the father to inquire whether they should make peace with them or to slay them. And Jacob sent word to his sons that they should make peace. And they made peace with them and placed the yoke of servitude upon them, so that they paid tribute to Jacob and to his sons always. And they continued to pay tribute to Jacob until the day that he went down into Egypt. And the sons of Edom have not quite of the yoke of servitude which the 12 sons of Jacob had imposed on them until this day. The sons of Edom had not quit for the yoke of their servitude which the 12 sons of Jacob had imposed on them to this day. Verse 15. And these are the kings that reigned in Edom before there reigned any king over the children of Israel until this day in the land of Edom. And Balak, the son of Beor, reigned in Edom, and the name of the city was Danaba. And Balak died, and Jobab, the son of Zarah of Bosir, reigned in his stead. And Jobab died, and Asam of the land of Teman reigned in his stead. And Asam died, and Adah, the son of Barad, who slew Midian in the field of Moab, reigned in his stead. And Adah died, and Salmon from Amisek reigned in his stead. And Salmon died, and Saul of Ra-Adath Ra'abath by the river reigned in his stead. And Saul died, and Ba'alunan, the son of Achbor, reigned in his stead. And Ba'alunan, the son of Achbor, died, and Adath reigned in his stead. And the name of his wife was Matithbith, the daughter of Matarat, the daughter of Matibadazabad. These are the kings who reigned in the land of Edom. So Esau's kingdom of Edom was eventually taken over by Rome. Again, see Jasher 90, 1, verses 1 through 9. And that's according to notes by Ken Johnson here. But that's the end of chapter 38 dealing with that issue, with Esau and Jacob war. And you have to forgive me for this, for trying to pronounce those names of the kings of Edom. I guess we can go look at Jasher verses 1 through 9, chapter 90, verses 1 through 9 real quick, just to see what he's talking about in his footnotes here. So I've got Jasher pulled up. Let's go to 90. Let me see if there's anything there for us to check out. Because according to his notes, it looks like it's going to be, I'll just go ahead and read it real quick and we'll see if there's anything here. At the time in the fifth year after the children of Israel had passed over Jordan, after the children of Israel had rested from their battle with the Canaanites, great and fierce battles arose at the time between Edom and the children of the Hittites, and the children of the Hittites fought against Edom. And Abinyaneth, sovereign of the Hittites, went out that year, that is in the 31st year of his reign, in a great army with him of the mighty men of the children of the Hittites, and he went to Seir to fight against the children of Esau. And Hadad, the sovereign of Edom, heard of his report, and he went out to meet him with a numerous people and strong army, and engaged in a battle with him in the field of Edom. And the hand of the Hittites prevailed over the children of Esau. And the children of the Hittites slew of the children of the Esau 22,000 men, and all the children of Esau fled from before them. And the children of the Hittites pursued them, and they reached Hadad, sovereign of Edom, who was running before them, and they caught him alive and brought him to Abinyanath, sovereign of the Hittites. And Abinyanath ordered him to be slain, and Hadad, sovereign of Edom, died in the 48th year of his reign. And the children of the Hittites continued their pursuit of Edom, and they smote them with a great slaughter. And Edom became subject to the children of the Hittites, and the children of the Hittites ruled over Edom, and Edom became under the hand of the children of the Hittites, and became one reign from that day. And from that time they could no longer lift up their heads, and their reign became one with the children of the Hittites. So that's what he's referring to. And the reason why that story's in here at this time is because it's just letting you know what happened to the sons of Esau, like, you know, what eventually became of them. All right, let's switch gears here. We're ready for chapter 39. We're going to look at this story. Joseph's life with Potiphar and his imprisonment is what we're dealing with. You can see Genesis chapter 39 for this story in the book of Genesis. So let's begin here. Verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land of his father, sojourning in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. And Joseph was 17 years old when they took him down into the land of Egypt. And Potiphar, a eunuch of Pharaoh, a chief cook, bought him. And he set Joseph over all his house, and the blessing of the Lord came upon the house of the Egyptian on account of Joseph, and the Lord prospered him in all that he did. And the Egyptian committed everything into the hands of Joseph, for he saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord prospered him in all that he did. And Joseph's appearance was comely, and very beautiful was his appearance. And his master's wife lifted up her eyes and saw Joseph, and she loved him, and besought him to lie with her. But he did not surrender his soul, and he remembered the Lord and the words which Jacob his father used to read from amongst the words of Abraham, that no man should commit fornication with a woman who hath a husband. that for him the punishment of death hath been ordained in the heavens before the Most High God. And the sin will be recorded against him in the eternal books continually before the Lord. And Joseph remembered these words and refused to lie with her. And she besought him for a year, but he refused and would not listen. But she embraced him and held him fast in the house in order to force him to lie with her, and closed the doors of the house and held him fast. But he left his garment in her hands and broke through the door and fled without from her presence. And the woman saw that he would not lie with her, and she calumniated him in the presence of his Lord, saying, "Thy Hebrew servant, whom thou lovest, sought to force me so that he might lie with me. And it came to pass, when I lifted up my voice, that he fled and left his garment in my hands. And when I held him, he brake through the door." And the Egyptian saw the garment of Joseph in the broken door, and he heard the words of his wife, and he cast Joseph into prison, into the place where the prisoners were kept, whom the king imprisoned. And he was there in prison. And the Lord gave Joseph favor in the sight of the chief of the prison guards, and compassion before him, for he saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper. And he committed all things into the hands of the chief of the prison guards. And the chief of the prison guards knew of nothing that was with him, for Joseph did everything, and the Lord perfected it. And he remained there 2 years. And in those days Pharaoh, king of Egypt, was wroth against his two eunuchs, against the chief butler and against the chief baker. And he put them inward in the house of the chief cook, and in the prison where Joseph was kept. And the chief of the prison guards appointed Joseph to serve them, and he served before them. And they both dreamed a dream, the chief butler and the chief baker, and they told it to Joseph. And he interpreted it to them, so it befell them. And Pharaoh restored the chief butler to his office, and the chief baker he slew. And Joseph had interpreted to them, but the chief butler forgot Joseph in the prison, although he had informed him that he would befall him. And he did not remember to inform Pharaoh how Joseph had told him he forgot. And so that's chapter 39 here in the Book of Jubilees, and that's where we're going to be stopping for today. Let's just recap a little bit here of what took place. So the Jubilees says that Joseph was a very attractive man, very handsome. And Potiphar's wife, you know, she's casting her eyes on him all, you know, every day. And it says that she loved him and she desired him to lie with her. But Joseph remembered what Jacob used to read from the writings of Abraham, which were the words of the Lord saying that you should not commit an act of sexual immorality, an act of fornication with another man's wife. If you do, here's the consequences that he was afraid of. Let me just read that verse again. But he did not surrender his soul, and he remembered the Lord and the words which Jacob his father used to read from amongst the words of Abraham, that no man should commit fornication with a woman who hath a husband, that for him the punishment of death hath been ordained in the heavens before the Most High God, and the sin will be recorded against him in the eternal books continually before the Lord. So Joseph was like, I'm not doing this thing. I fear God too much. I fear the Lord too much. But she persists, it says, for a year. She besought him for a year, but he refused. He would not listen. So there's one day where she embraces him, and she's holding him fast, thinking that she's going to lure him, you know, because she's upon him. But he flees, and she's got a hold of his garment. And so she tells her master, her husband Potiphar, that Joseph tried to force himself onto her, and that he left his garment there and he broke the door. And of course, Potiphar has him thrown into prison. Interesting to note that when he's in Potiphar's house, the Lord blesses all he does, to the point where Potiphar's like, I'm going to appoint him over everything, because everything that boy touches is blessed. Then when he ends up in prison, the chief of the prison notices the same thing. And so he commits everything to Joseph's hands. So whether Joseph's in Potiphar's house or whether he's in prison, everything he touches is being blessed and anointed by God. And so that's where we're going to leave off. It doesn't give us much information about the dream interpretation that he does for the cook. For the butler and the baker, but we get all that information in the book of Genesis. But nonetheless, they forget about Joseph. Well, one's killed, the other one gets restored, as Joseph told him would happen according to his dream, but he forgets Joseph, so Joseph still remains in prison. And that's where we'll pick up next week, Lord willing. Well, I hope you've enjoyed my rambling this morning and my mispronouncing of ancient names. But hopefully you're being blessed, and this work is causing you to think more about God, to draw more closely to Him and to His Son Jesus, and your hearts are being stirred and pierced, and a passion is being stirred inside you for the Word of God, and that's kind of the goal of this podcast. I just want to remind you about scriptureandprophecy.com. That's the website. This podcast is 100% listener supported. And so your support is much appreciated. Thank you so much to those of you who do support it. I'm always humbled. I'm always amazed by it. And it's far more than I deserve. But if you would like to support it, you can do that by going to scriptureandprophecy.com. That's also where you'll find several devotionals and interesting materials, I think. And so make sure you visit that. Well, I pray that you all have a blessed weekend. That's all I have for you this morning. Peace and grace be with you. And until the next time, God bless.